Reverend Beth wrote a sermon for today on the topic of gun violence prevention titled Choose Life. Eloise Gilland, Betsy King, and I will present different parts. In my part, I'll be reading some excerpts from an article by Jim Wallace, editor-in-chief of Sojourners. It was written shortly after the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary and titled, What Comes After the Grief? The nation must finally decide what we are going to do about the semi-automatic and automatic weapons that are now pervasive in our country. Weapons whose only purpose is to kill large numbers of people. Let's be honest about the difference between these weapons and those needed for hunting, sport, or even self-defense. Since the Newtown shooting, I have learned some stunning facts. In the four counties around the Connecticut school, there are 400 gun dealers. There are more gun dealers now in America than McDonald's restaurants. On Black Friday alone, the FBI received more than 150,000 requests for background checks for firearm purchases. They received 2 million in November. And most astounding, there are 311 people in America and 280 million guns. Guns, and concealed weapons in particular, are being allowed in more and more public places. That is the direction that the gun business and the gun lobby has taken us. And the gun business and gun lobby are now the same thing. Is that the kind of society we want to live in? But it's not just gun idolatry. We must also do a better job of detecting and treating the kind of mental health problems that are repeatedly leading to such violence. How can we better avoid the deadly connections between mental illness and guns of mass destruction? How do we find, treat, and monitor individuals with such issues and support their families in order to protect them and others? And finally, we need an honest conversation about our growing culture of violence, about the entertainment and products that project the worst expressions of violence as solutions to problems or as fun. How do we raise and protect our children in a culture that is infected with such deep attractions and habits of violence? How willing are we to confront those habits and addictions?
Well, Jim Wallace had some questions for us. This piece has some answers, and I hope you listen carefully because the answers might involve some of us or all of us. This reading is an op-ed. It was just written last week, last Tuesday. It appeared in on the website of Oakland North, which is an online news project of UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. It was written by Reverend Billy Dixon, pastor of At Thy Word Ministries at the Church of God in Christ, located on International Boulevard in Oakland. He's also a board member of Oakland Community Organizations. The title is, You Tell Us to Combat Violence, Put Love into Action. The news gives the grisly details of the shootings. City officials are giving news conferences, and community activists are in an uproar. One might wonder, is there anything really being done while young black and brown men are dying in Oakland and people hide in their homes hoping to get through the nights of terror? I'm here to tell you that there is hope on the way. Groups such as Oakland Community Organizations, Pastors of Oakland, and many more have joined forces to fight against the long trend of violence. We are doing more than praying. We are putting our faith into action. Together, we have launched the Lifelines to Healing organizing initiative, which includes the violence intervention strategy known as Ceasefire. The Lifelines and Ceasefire models are more than a program to end violence. They're both long-term strategies to stop violence, as well as pathways to create an environment of peace and a roadmap for success to enrich Oakland. Ceasefire and Lifelines are practices that try to end the mass incarceration of men of color and offer them opportunities to make better choices and improve the quality of their life. Oakland Police Chief Howard Jordan already supports the Ceasefire model, and he and community leaders throughout the city have been implementing Ceasefire's key tactics. It is a proven strategy that has been implemented throughout the country with great success and has three major components: call-ins, community policing, and night walks. Call-ins are a collaboration of law enforcement, faith and community leaders, and service providers coming together to tell those involved in gun violence that the shooting has to stop. The second component, community policing, focuses on the local beat officer working with the community in the area of service to prevent and solve crimes. This transforms the cops versus the community mentality into a police and community versus crime approach. The third component, the night walks, are a critical element in the Ceasefire strategy. Every Friday night, people of faith walk the most dangerous neighborhoods of our city, not to proselytize, but rather to manifest a ministry of presence, hope, and concern. Over the last couple of weeks, our city has been engaged in a polarizing debate about how to respond to the crisis of violence and homicide in our community. A complex and healthy debate has been reduced to competing sound bites. Either bring in more law enforcement or invest more in services for young people. The advantage of Ceasefire is that it brings that discord into harmony. Ceasefire asserts that data-driven collaboration with a laser focus on those most likely to shoot or be shot, with a clear message and real opportunities for alternative behavior, is the best approach to reducing the number of young men laid down on our streets. Everyone must be at the table in a deliberate process of trust building and co-implementation for lives to be saved. Previous efforts may have fallen short, are now reinvigorated with significant and serious commitment from all stakeholders and a higher sense of accountability than ever before. This brings me back to the night walks. Join us on a Friday night. Come out of your house of worship to show your concern to members of our community who are often left to fend for themselves. We're not just saying we love you. We put our love into action by reclaiming our streets, corner stores, and bus stops as holy ground. We cast out fear with a spirit of power and hope.
Have you heard enough yet of gun violence? Are you moved to action? Barbara's article showed how the gun culture has permeated our daily lives. Eloise described the comprehensive approach of Ceasefire Lifelines to Healing program and the role played by OCO, Oakland Community Organizations. This strategy was partially tried in Oakland several years ago, but it did not achieve the intended results. With a renewed commitment by the mayor, police department, Alameda County, OCO commits to help ensure full implementation of Lifelines and Ceasefire. And the support and the partnership of the Oakland community is needed. This is where we come in. OCO, of which MPC is a member, is joining forces with other faith leaders to stop the gun violence in Oakland. OCO member congregations are being asked to join the Friday night neighborhood walks, which have already been happening for 3 months. Many of us at MPC have been reticent to join actions in places we perceive as dangerous. Would we feel differently if it were our sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, dying by gun violence? I attended an OCO meeting last Wednesday with the Lifelines Working Group. We were asked to introduce ourselves and say the name of someone we knew who had been affected by gun violence. Out of the 20 or so people that were there, I was the only one who had not lost a family member to gun violence. I was also the only white person there. Some people had two or three family members killed by gunfire. Others had family members in prison for gun crimes. As I listened to the stories, I realized that my family had been touched by gun violence too. Some of you may remember my cousin's husband, Paul Bendix, who wrote Dance Without Steps. He came for a book talk last October. When he was 21, he was mugged in Berkeley and shot with a handgun, which seriously paralyzed him. Another cousin, whom I've only seen one time, lives in Florida, and in the 1980s was angry, became very drunk, and shot and killed his stepmother and her boyfriend. He's still in prison. Each Friday, from 6 to 9 p.m., a group of clergy and people of faith alternately meet at one church, one of two churches, and walk through the neighborhoods to temper the violence. They talk to people on the street and others who come out to meet them. They are building relationships and reviving the moral voice and positive norms in the community. What would we say to people? Do they want to see our white faces? I'm told the people are largely pleased to see that we care enough to come to their neighborhoods. So we could say, we just want you to be safe. I have flyers that I'm passing out in the family room. And on the flyer, it says, we love you, and we want you to be alive and free. The pastor at Skyline United Church of Christ has walked a couple of times, and she and several other OCO congregations have decided to do the Friday night walks as part of their Lenten discipline. Could we, as a congregation, commit to a Friday night walk during Lent? Gun violence in Oakland is not something that we can ignore or hope will go away or simply leave to others. Could we bring a ministry of presence, hope, and concern? When the season of Epiphany began, Reverend Beth reminded us that behind Martin Luther King's conception of the beloved community and Jesus' assertion to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, is the idea that we as a humanity are tied together in the single garment of mutuality. For Desmond Tutu, Ubuntu is the idea that the freedom of one depends upon the freedom of all. The idea that I cannot be free if you are not also free. What happens to any one person or community in Oakland happens to each one of us. Will we join with the other faith communities in Oakland to work for ceasefire solutions? Please come to the social justice table in the family room. Pick up a flyer, sign up for a time that is convenient for you, and I do hope to see you there. Thank you.